Good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Bava Metzia, daf Yud Gimel. We are holding on daf Yud Beis Amud Beis. We are at the Mishnah on Yud Beis Amud Beis. Today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Lander, in honor of his wife and children, and Lili Nishmas's mother, Golda Bas Simcha, La Shalom. Also by Daniel Sadian for the success of Klal Yisrael in these times, and Atzlacha for our soldiers and our captives. They should return home safely. Also by Rabbi Bruckheimer, in loving memory of his wife, Hindel Basel Yakima Cohen, Zichrono Levracha, in honor of the real bar mitzvah anniversary of Rabbi Bruckheimer, which is in Adar Sheni. Also by the Gross family, Lizecher Nishmas Chanaleah Bas Moshe Tzvi, Ramoshe Yehuda Ben Rav Nachum, Chayaleah Bas Natali Hertzka, Tzvi Menachem Ben Shemayahu, and also by Simeon Moshe Kleinman, in memory of Moshe's grandfather, Dov Ben Rav Yosef, whose yahrzeit is today, the Nesham Shem Aliyah. We thank all of the sponsors very, very much for the sponsorship. So our Mishnah is going to talk about what happens when you find a shtar chov. Should you return it to the malva? Should you return it to the lova? Should you not return it to anybody? So the Mishnah is going to discuss, the Mishnah is going to mention an unusual concern. The Mishnah is going to say, well, I'm afraid that if you're going to return the shtar chov improperly, the person is going to be able to collect melekuchos. So the primary question the Gemara is going to deal with is, why is that the concern, that they're going to improperly collect melekuchos, meaning mimana? If the shtar has not yet been paid up, so then you're allowed to collect from the lekuchos. And if it's already been paid up, why am I only concerned they're going to improperly collect from the lekuchos? They'll improperly collect from the guy himself, from the borrower himself. The whole thing would be improper. So why is there a concern only for one, only for the lekuchos, and not for the other, not for the borrower? So that's the primary issue that the Gemara discusses. That leads us into a discussion of whether we're kosev a shtar without both parties being present. It's also going to lead into a discussion of when exactly shibud nechasim begins, meaning at what point does the lien in the proper on the property take effect. And really, what the Gemara the whole conversation boils down to is, what exactly is the case of our Mishnah? Is the case about where the lova is moda, or is the case where the lova is not moda? So that's essentially the discussion of the entire daf, all about shibud nechasim and why it is that the concern is only about the shibud nechasim and when shibud nechasim actually begins, and how shtarot are written for one party without the other, all relating to finding a shtar chov. So let's begin with the Mishnah on daf Yud Beis Amud Beis. So says the Mishnah, Matzah shtari chov. Let's say a person finds a shtar chov. So technically, from Hilchos, Ela Metzias, the halacha is that it has a shtar chov, certainly as a simen, and therefore you'd be obligated to return it. The problem is that if it's already been paid up, so then it's a terrible avla. The halacha is that one is not allowed to keep, the Gemara tells us, you're not allowed to keep a shtar perua b'toch peso, because al tishkun ba'alecha avla. It's a terrible avla. You have a shtar, it's already been paid up. You can go and collect with it a second time. You could steal money with it. So it's a terrible thing. So what do you do with this shtar chov? So im yesh ben achrayis nechasim, if there's a chrayis nechasim in the shtar, which means that they'll be able to collect from the kuchos, that if the borrower had sold property after the time of the loan, that the lender will be able to go and confiscate that property. So lo yachzir, then you cannot return it to the malveh. Shebezin from man, because Bezin will collect the chov from the karka of the lekuchos, and maybe there's a psul in the shtar, and Bezin is going to collect the karka. Shelo kedin, maybe it's improper to collect the karka. But ein ben achrayis nechasim, if the lova didn't write achray, he was never mishabit his nechasim in the shtar. He never had included in the shtar that not only can you collect from me, but you can collect from any of the properties that I own at the time of the loan. Then yachzir, then you're allowed to return it. Shein Bezin afrayin mehen, because Bezin is not going to be able to collect from the lekuchos anyway, so no harm can come from returning the shtar. Divrei Rabbi Meir, that is Rabbi Meir's shita. V'chamomrim bein kachu bein kach lo yachzir mnesha bezin nefroin mehem. Whether there's a chayis nechasim written in the shtar or there's no chayis written in the shtar, you're not allowed to return the shtar to the malva, because Bezdin will always collect from the lekuchos anyway. Meaning the rabbanon hold of the principle of achrayus ta'u soferhu, that achrayus is an automatic whenever you have a shtar chov, and if they did not include a line about achrayus in the text of the shtar, it is assumed anyway. So they'll always be able to collect milchuk. Simchos. So the Machlokas in our Mishnah is simply about whether we assume Achrayus. But that's the primary concern of the Mishnah. The concern is that if you're returning a shtar that's already been paid, you have to worry about the Lukuchos that you're going to collect from the Lukuchos, Shalo Kedin. So right away, the Gemara is bothered by this. Ask the Gemara, B'may Askinan, what exactly is the case that Rabbi Meir is so worried that you're going to collect from the Lukuchos, Shalo Kedin, but you're not worried that you're going to collect from the borrower himself, Shalo Kedin? If we're talking about a case where the lova is moda that he owes the money, that he has not yet paid up the shtar, so if there's a chayis nechasim still, why wouldn't you return the shtar? Hamoda, he's admitting that he hasn't yet paid it up, and if he hasn't yet paid it up, you're right, they're going to collect from lekuchos, and they should collect from the lekuchos, because there's a shtar with a chayis nechasim, and it's a valid shtar. And if we're talking about a case where the lova is not moda that he owes the money, he tines, yes, it's a valid shtar, but I already paid it up, and therefore the shtar was returned to me, and I dropped it, I lost it, so it's not a valid shtar anymore. Well then, ki ein ben achrayis nechasim amayachzir. Well then, why in a case where there is no achrayis nechasim would you return that shtar to the malve? Nihi delo gavi mimeshabdi mnechari migvagavi. Granted, you're not going to be able to improperly collect from the lekuchos. You're not going to go and find people who have purchased property from the lova and collect from them, but you'll collect from the lova himself. And shouldn't you be concerned that you're collecting from him a second time after he's already paid it up? So says Gemara Li'ola. So again, so we're stuck in that catch 22. Why would the Mishnah only be concerned about the achrayis nechasim and not be concerned about the chov itself? So says Gemara Li'olam, kishachayiv moda. So approach number one in the Mishnah is that the case is that the lova is moda, that he has not yet paid the shtar, and that the malva must have been the one to drop the shtar. If that's the case, what are you so worried about the lukuchos? Good, let them collect me lukuchos. It's proper to collect from the lukuchos. In our Mishnah, the reason we don't return the shtar to the malva, if there's a chayis nechasim in it, is the chayshin and shema kasav lilvos benisan. We're concerned that maybe they wrote in the shtar to make the loan in Nisan, but lemaisa, when it came down to it, v'lalava ad tishrei, they didn't actually follow through on the actual loan until Tishrei, Vasil Mitzvah Flukucha Shalokadin. And there's that 6 month gap between Nisan and Tishrei where any properties that the Lova had sold should not be Meshubad to the Halva'a, because the Halva'a had not yet happened. But if based on the text of the Shtar, it looks like it's Meshubad, and those are the people that I'm worried about. Those collecting from those Lekuchos, Shalo Kedin. To collect from the Lova himself, good, he's Moda that he owes the money, collect from him. But to collect from those Lekuchos, that's what I'm going to be nervous about. The Gemara gives the example that Kasav Lilvos Benisan, because Nisan is Echad Benisan, when the Gemara Mishnah Rosh Hashanah says Echad Benisan is Rosh Hashanah L'Shtaros. So that's probably why the Gemara starts with Nisan, that they wrote Echad Benisan. That happens to be the earliest date, because that counts as the first day of the year when it comes to Shtaros. But anyway, so that's the concern. So says Gemara, well, if that's the concern, Ihachi, if even when the Lova is Moda in the Chov, we're not going to return the Shtar because you're worried that maybe the Shtar was written prior to the Alva, well, why is that only a concern on a Shtar that you found? Kol Shtar Yidas Kaman Nechash Luhachi. Then, meaning, right, if you're concerned about that, then you can never trust the date in any shtar. Any shtar that comes to Beis Din, any shtar that anybody has written, we should never be able to collect from the Lekuchos, because we should always say, how do I know it really happened on that date? Maybe they only wrote in the shtar that it was going to happen on that date, but it didn't happen until months later. So, answers Gemara, no, there's a big difference. You're not worried about that by all other shtaros. Kol Shtari Lo Rei, all other shtaros, there is no Reyusa on the shtar. There's nothing about the shtar that's telling me that this shtar has some sort of pagam that I need to be worried that there's some sort of psul over here. But hani rei, but over here, there's a major reis on the shtar. What's the major reis on the shtar? People don't just drop shtaros. People are very careful about maintaining their shtaros, about keeping their shtaros. The fact that this shtar was dropped, that this shtar was lost, that it had fallen, that's a pagam that causes us to be choshesh, that maybe maybe it's a shtar pasul, and therefore I don't want to be collecting with a shtar that might be pasul, or that I have reason to believe is pasul. Ask the Gemara if the concern is if they may write the shtar and not use it immediately, and they may not use that shtar and actually lend the money immediately. Elahad Tanan, that which the Mishnah says in Maseches Bava Basra, Kosvin Shtar Lilova, Afal Pi She'ein Malva Imo, that a sofer can write a shtar for a lova even though the malva is not with him, because the lova can always be mechayiv himself, even though the halva'a hasn't happened yet. So if I go over to a sofer and I say, please write a shtar that says that I owe $10,000, he's allowed to write such a shtar. He's not allowed to write a shtar if I go over to him and I say, please write a shtar that Ploni owes me $10,000. Right? Then you need both parties there. But you can write a shtar for the lova, even though the malva is not with him. Well, lechadchila echi kasvinu. How is it mutter to write such a shtar? By every shtar that comes to us, we don't have to worry that maybe it was written before the zman halva. But lechadchila, when the lova comes to write a shtar without the malva, nechu shemakasav luvos b'nisan, why aren't we worried that the lova is writing the shtar? He's getting the sofer to write the shtar in Nisan. V'lo lova tishrei, but it's not going to, the halva is not going to happen until tishrei, and there's not going to be any shibun luchasim until tishrei. But this shtar is going to enable people to collect from the lukuchos already starting from Nisan, and that's shelo kedin. So why aren't I concerned about that? Why does the Mishnah just say you're allowed to write a shtar for the lova, even though the malva is not there? Answers the Gemara, Amar Ravasi, nah, I'm not worried about a delayed halva'a, because b'shtari hakna'a. That Mishnah is talking about where they did a hakna'a at the time of the chasima on the Shibun Nechasim, whether there's going to be a halva'a or not. Meaning the lova was mishabed all of his nechasim toward the amount that is written in that shtar, even though the halva'a is delayed and the loan is not going to be until later on. If at that time that the shtar was written, the lova was mishabed himself, and he was mishabed all of his nechasim for the payment of the chov, so all of his karka became mishubed right away, even though in actuality the halva'a was not made until sometime later on. So that's not a psul of a shtar muktam, and it's mutal lechadchila to write a shtar chov for the lova without the malva. But a stam shtar halva'a, where he's not mishabed any of his nechasim at the time of the ksiva, he's only mishabed the nechasim at the time of the halva'a, then einachinami, you're not going to write to the lova without the malva there, because you have to be choshesh, einachinami. Essentially what the Gemara is saying is, einachinami, that's a real chashash. When the Mishnah says you write for the lova without the malva there, it's talking about a unique situation where it's shtarei hakna'a. Ihachi, if that's the case, that by every shtar halva'a, which is not a shtar hakna'a, this is in fact a legitimate chashash, then maybe they're writing it on one date and the halva doesn't happen until another date, and therefore you cannot do that in kosum shtar lelova without the malva there. So masnis and tiktani miyesh benachayis nechasim lo yachzir. Well, then how do we go back to taichop our Mishnah? Our Mishnah said that if there's a chayis nechasim, do not return the shtar. Vukimna, we said, oh, must be kashachayiv moda, that the case is that the lova is moda that he has not yet paid up the chov in that shtar. Why then do I not return the shtar? Umishem shemakasav lovos benisim lo lova. We explained because maybe the shtar was written in Nisan, the halva didn't happen until Tishrei. You're going to collect from the kukos already starting from Nisan, and all of that's going to be shaloka din. But based on what we're saying right now, why would we be choshish for that? If it's a shtar hakna'a, well then you're allowed to collect from the lukuchos already starting from Nisan, because he was mishabit himself and all of his nechasim already starting from Nisan. And if it's not a shtar hakna'a, then why are you worried that the shtar was written on one date and it didn't happen until later on? Why would that happen? After all, you're not allowed to write a shtar for the lova unless the malva is there. I mean, if it's not a shtar akna, it's just a regular shtar halva'a, you only write the shtar if both parties are there. Presumably, if both parties are there, the halva'a is happening on that date. So I'm going to make up a chashash that there's a six-month lag between the time of the shtar and the time of the halva'a. Such a chashash is reasonable if a shtar could have been written for the lova without the malva. Because I'm writing the shtar, who knows when the malva is going to lend the money. But if I'm only writing the shtar if both parties are are there, so I know that it's happening right now. Of course the alva is happening right now. So why would I be choshesh that the alva didn't happen right away? You wouldn't write the shtar unless the malva was there, the way we're explaining the Mishnah Bava Basra. So it answers the Gemara, Amalach Ravasi, Afagav Nishtari, Delav Hakna'a, Kileka Malva Badei Lo Kasvinan. Even though you're right, when it's not a shtar Hakna'a, we do not write a shtar without the presence of the Malva, but Masnisin, in the case of our Mishnah, where it's not a shtar Hakna'a, and even so, even though on such a shtar that's not a shtar Hakna'a, you would never write the shtar without the presence of the Malva, Kivan de Nafal, Itralev, Chashin and Dilma Ikri Vakasov. The fact that the shtar fell makes us very suspicious of the shtar, and we're afraid that maybe they did write the shtar without the malva there, against the din. You're not allowed to, but maybe they did. And even though the zman and the shtar is Nisan, I therefore have to be choshesh that the halva didn't happen until Tishrei, and the collection from the lukuchos is going to be shaloka din. So and therefore the shtar is going to be possible, and that's why the malva was not careful about such a shtar, because such a shtar is going to be possible, since it's not a shtar hakna'a. So essentially what it all boils down to is that the reason for the chashash of the gap in time between the Zman Ashtar and the Zman Alva is because it's a fallen shtar. Had it been a regular shtar, I would not have to be choshish for such things, because we don't write such shtaros. We only write such shtaros when the Malva and Lova are both there and we know that the loan is happening. But the fact that it has fallen is an indication that this shtar was anyway a shtar puzzle, and that's why people lost it, which is an interesting idea, that if you find something, that itself is a chashash psul. That itself is a reason to be choshish that something is possible. In the Chuvus Halachos Ketanos, in the Panini Halachos section of the Masifta, they quoted Chuvus Halachos Ketanos in Chelek Beis Simen Kuf Samach Vav, where he says a new din that in Hilchos Tefillin, based on this Gemara, that if a person finds Tefillin that are in Geniza, you have to be choshish that they're pasul, even though you were bodek and nimtzu ksheros. Even though obviously you have to be choshish that they're pasul if you don't check them, right? Meaning that's why they're in Geniza. You have to assume that. No, but if you, even though you check them, they look kosher, everything looks good, you have to be choshesh that it must be that these tefillin were written shalol l'shma, shalol kesidra. There must have been something, tefillin could be written shalol, but it's written shalol l'shma, some type of reyusa in the tefillin. Some type of reyusa. There are certain things in Hilchostam that you would never be able to tell just by looking at it, right? You can't tell if the sofer was shalol l'shma. Can't tell if the sofer was a guy, right? You can't tell anything about if the sofer was a woman. You wouldn't be able to tell just by looking at the tefillin. So you have to be choshish that must be the problem with these tefillin, because why else are they in Geniza? It's just like in our Gemara. Why else is there a shtar on the floor? People don't drop shtaros on the floor. But then he says, nah, maybe you could say it's not a raya, that the nefila was a full reyusa, because it could be that there's a difference between mamon, where we assume that a motzi mechaver alav a raya, and therefore the yad bala shtar ala tachtona, and he's not allowed to be motzi mamon, I'll be a bad shtar, mashenkin by tefillin, where there is no such concept of a motzi mechaver alav haraya, where you need a shtar, you need something very strong in order to be able to collect. So maybe there's a chilek to be made that way. And therefore, he says, if the tefillin are in a bag, you don't have to be choshish for a psul, because it's not a raya from mamon and shtar legabe tefillin. But if the tefillin are without ritzuo, so they're opened up, and you know, so then you have to be choshish, because that's a reyusa. That the fact that the tefillin don't even have ritzuos in them, so that's a major reyusa. But then he says, maybe you could say lehepich, by tefillin it's even worse than a shtar, and it's not at all comparable to a shtar, because a person is careful about a shtar and he'll guard it carefully, and therefore after it's paid, it's not worth anything. It's only worth something as a bottle cap. You can't really use it, and therefore we could say that when it's paid up, he'll throw it away. So if you find a bishuk, it's a major reyusa that it probably was thrown away already. But something that's worth some money and people would never throw away, and if the tefillin are munach and geniza, it's a raya that they're not kosher. So anyway, that's this whole discussion, whether it's a raya one way or the other, by tefillin, just based on the discussion that you have by a shtar. Right, that's also one of the discussions that they have in archaeology and halacha. To what extent can you rely on archaeological finds to determine halacha? Right, there's machlokas Rashi Rabbeinu Tam about the Seder HaParshios and tefillin. So they found the geniza with a lot of tefillin Rabbeinu Tam in there. So is that a raya from times of Yecheskel? Is that a raya that in the times of the Nevi'im they were wearing tefillin to Rabbeinu Tam, and maybe Rabbeinu Tam is correct, right? Meaning the Machlokes Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam didn't start with Rashi and Rabbeinu, like what did Rashi's father do? It didn't start at that point. Obviously, there were multiple traditions that were being passed down. Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam were arguing which of those traditions was the Iker, but maybe that's a raya. So some of the Achronim said, no, that's why they found them in a Geniza, because they had put the Parshas, all wrong. They were in the wrong order. I don't know. At least with the Shal Rosh, just take them out and put them in the right order. So then it should have been okay. But that's the question about finding things in Geniza, or maybe say yeah they're in Geniza because they're possible. Is that itself a raya that something is possible? So that's one approach to explain why they would write a shtar for the lova even without the malva, and we're not choshesh that maybe the halva is going to be at a later point in time. So the Gemara had said that if it's a shtar hakna'a, you're allowed to do that. You can write a shtar for the lova without the malva, and if it's not a shtar hakna'a, you can't. And if you find a shtar, you have to be choshesh that they did wrong, that even though it's not a shtar hakna'a, maybe they wrote the shtar for the lova without the malva. Abayi Amar, Abayi says, Edom b'chasum of zachunlo, the edom of the lova, when they sign it, they are zocha for the malva, that which is written in the shtar, even if the money was not yet given over. There's a shibud karkos that begins at the time of the signing of the shtar, and therefore the Mishnah says you can write a shtar for the lova even though the malva is not with him. That's true by any shtar, even a shtar that's not a shtar hakna, because by all shtaros the shibud begins right away, and the halach is you could collect from karkos that are sold after the zman that's written in the shtar. Why doesn't Abai explain the din of the Mishnah that they write a shtar lova even without the malva, dafka by shtari hakna, like Ravasi had explained? What's wrong with Ravasi's explanation that it's only by shtari hakna? Mishum tekashale, because Abai had trouble with Ravasi's explanation, because Ravasi says that our Mishnah is talking about a shtar that's not a shtar hakna, and they improperly wrote the shtar for the lova even though the malva was not there. So that's why you can't return the shtar. Abai doesn't agree to that. He says, given why would you be choshesh that someone would do something so improper that if the halach is whenever it's not a shtar hakna'a you're not allowed to write for the lova without the malva? I don't think just because you find the shtar on the ground all of a sudden you're choshesh that a sofer is doing improperly and he's writing a shtar for the lova without the malva. So it must be that you're allowed to write a shtar for the lova without the malva, because as soon as the edim sign it, that's when the shibud begins, and that's what's going on, that the shibud began at that time. So that's what we're, and that's why I'm concerned that maybe the halva'a, Abai holds that even by stam shtaros, you write for the lova even when the malva is not there. And since our mission is talking about a stam shtar, you can't return it to the malva because you have to be choshesh that they wrote to have the halva'a then, because you're allowed to do that. So the Gemara says, okay, within Abaye, that as long as the Edom are signed on the shtar, the shibul is chal from the Zman HaChasima, Elahad that which it says in the Mishnah, if you find a get isha, or you find a shtar shichur of an eved kanani, or daitiki, you find a shtar that a shchiv meira writes to determine where is nechasim are going to go, or matana, you find a shtar matana that a healthy person writes to give something as a matana, v'shovrim, or you find a receipt for a piron chov that it was already paid up, and you don't know who to return it to, or who is so reza lo yachzir. You should not return the shtar to the kosev shtar, nor to the person who is written for. And the reason we're not maksir such a shtar is because shem ksuvim hayu, maybe they were written almanas for the transaction to happen, and then v'nim l'chaleim shlo litnim, and then before the shtar was ever given to the person who was written for, they changed their mind and they didn't actually follow through on the transaction. So according to Abaye, v'chinim l'chaleim mayhavi, who cares that they didn't follow through on the transaction? According to Abaye, as soon as the Edom signed the shtar, it's effectuated. So even if they changed their mind, he was ready to mishabit himself to everything that's written in the shtar. So it says more, now, hani mili, this din, that the shibud is chal at the time of the signing of the Edom, is hecha de kamat liyadeh, is only if eventually the shtar got to the person who was written for. And then we say, the mafreya, the shibud begins from the time of the chasima, but only if it's actually effectuated. Av lecha de kamat liyadeh, but in the case where the shtar never gets to the person who was written for, lo amrinan. We don't say that Abaye holds that the shibud is going to be chal at the time of the chasimus eidim, and therefore you have to be choshesh that maybe they changed their mind and they ended up not following through. So the Gemara says, well, wait a second. Lemas nisan to katani, our mishnah which says matzah shtarichov miyesh b'machayis nuchasim lo yachzir, that do not return shtarichov that have achrayis nuchasim, because maybe you're going to collect from the lukucha shalokadin v'ukim nakeshachayiv moda. And we said that our mishnah is talking about a case where the love is moda that he owes the money. And the concern with returning the shtar is, even though he's moda that he owes the money, but maybe the shtar says Nisan and the halah didn't actually happen until Tishrei, and therefore you're going to collect me lekucha shalokadin. Well, Bishlam Rav Asi damr shari aknasa mukla b'shari davar kniyasa. I answer very well according to Rav Asi, who says that it's only by shtari aknasa that you can write a shtar for the lova, even though ain malvi imo. So our mishnah talking about that a shtar, it's a shtar that's not a shtar aknasa, and therefore it was improperly written for the lova. Avol b'shein malvi imo k'darminon, like we already explained. But according to Abaye, who says that Kosam Shtar Lova Af Pishein Malvi Imo, and you don't have to worry that it's written in Nisan and then not effectuated until Tishrei, because by every Shtar we assume that the Shibud is going to begin at the time that they signed it, Ma'ikul Meimar, why does our Mishnah say not to return it to the Malva? Even if there was no Halva'a on Rosh Chodesh Nisan when the Shtar was written, still the Malva is allowed to collect the Karkaos beginning from Rosh Chodesh Nisan, because as long as the Halva'a eventually happened, Limafreya, the Shibud Karkaos begins on the date in the Shtar. So what's the concern? What's the big problem? The reason of our Mishnah that you don't return the Shtar to the Malva, if it has a chayis nechasim in it, is not because I'm afraid it was written in Nisan and the alvat happened until Tishrei. No, it's the chayis lipiron ulkanunya. I'm afraid that maybe the chov was paid and the shibud and the shtar was already batel, and then the malva and the lova made a kanunya between them. They made a, you know, they're being deceitful, deceptive between them, that the lova will be moda that he owes the money even though he doesn't anymore. The malva will then be able to collect me lukuchos. He'll be able to collect from the shibud nechasim. And then they'll split the profits that they get from that. So therefore, a shtar that has a chayis nechasim, you cannot return. Whoever finds it cannot return it, because we're choshish l'kanunya. But a shtar that doesn't have a chayis nechasim, Rav Meir holds, you can return the shtar to the malva, because since the lova is moda that he still owes the chov, and you're not going to be able to collect from the kuchas anyway, so no harm is going to come out of it. There's no kanunya that they could have been doing. But the Rabbanon hold that in the chinami, there's no chayis nechasim written in the shtar, but a chayis tal sofer, they'll still be able to collect from lekuchos, and you still have to be choshesh for kanunya. So that's the way Abaye will learn our Mishnah. So far, we have two ways of learning our Mishnah. We have Rav Asi and we have Abaye, where Rav Asi says the concern in our Mishnah is that they improperly wrote a shtar for the lova, even though in Malvi Mon it's not a shtar akanyasa. And Abaye will say, no, it's a properly written shtar. The concern is that it's already been paid and you're going to improperly collect a second time with it. Ula Shmuel the Amar, and according to Shmuel, who holds that if you find the shtar hakna in the shuk, you can return it to the Malva. Piron, and I'm not worried that it's a shtar, that it's a shtar perua, because if it was shtar perua, they would have torn it up right away. Ula kununya, and I'm not worried about a kununya between them. So then, Ma'ikul Meimar, how Shmuel can explain our mishnah of why we return the shtar chov that has why we won't return a shtar chov that has a chayis nechasim? Ha nichris of the kravasi damr shtari akna mukim asim shtari delav akna. If you hold the kravasi, Shmuel's not going to have a problem. Our mishnah is not talking about a shtar akna. But if you're going to say like Abaye that it's Eidim B'chsum V'zachon Lo, and that as soon as the Eidim sign it, that's when the Shibud begins, well then what's the problem in returning the Shtar? Granted, it was written in Nisan, the Halva didn't happen until Tishrei, but the Shibud begins in Nisan. So what? Are you going to tell me, oh, but I'm worried about Kanunya? Shmuel's not worried about Kanunya. So Shmuel, Mokin Mas Nisan, Kesheim Chayv Moda. Shmuel will have an entirely different approach in our Mishnah. He'll say our Mishnah is talking about a case where the Lova is not Moda that he owes the money. So we don't know that there's any chov over here. Well, if I don't even know that the lova owes the money, even when there's no achrayis nechasim, how can I return the shtar? Granted, I'm not collecting from the chasim shabadim, but l'chora, I am collecting from the chasim b'nei charim, and that's wrong too. So Shmuel Tamei, Tamar Shmuel, Omer Yerim Meir, shtar chov, shem bar achrayis nechasim, ein gov alomim shabdi,
v'lo mibnei chari. That a shtar chov that doesn't have achrayis l'chasim, you're never going to be able to collect with it anyway. Not even mibnei charin, because it's such a reyusa in a shtar chov that they didn't write achrayis l'chasim. I mean, there are two ways to look at it. You could say, ah, achrayis ta sofer, and therefore assume achrayis l'chasim. The other way to look at it is, what kind of clown wrote such a shtar? Obviously, people didn't know what they're doing. The whole thing is a problem. So you can't collect anything with a shtar that doesn't have achrayis l'chasim. V'chimeach sheinu gove mayachzir. Okay, so if they're not going to be able to use it for anything, why bother returning it? Just tear it up and throw it in the garbage. The shtar itself, a piece of paper, has some value because they could use it as a bottle cap. So you're not returning it as a shtar. No one's ever going to be able to use the shtar. You're returning it as a bottle cap. So you need to know who the owner of this bottle cap is so that you could return it, because that's all it's ever going to be used for anyway. So says Gemara, since the reason you're returning the shtar to the malva is not because he's neman, that he's able to collect his chov. Why do you return it to the malva? Maybe it's the lova's bottle cap and not the malva's bottle cap. So the lova says that he was denying the whole thing. He's saying that the shtar is mezuyav. So according to him, it was never. He had nothing to do with the shtar. Somebody. He's being moda that it's not his bottle cap. So it turns out that according to Rav Asi and Abaye, the Mishnah is talking about a case where the lova is moda that there's a chov, and they're arguing with that which Rav Meir says, that if there's a chayis nechasim, don't return it. According to Rav Asi, the reason not to return it is because you're going to collect me l'kuchos shalo kedin, because the shtar was written improperly. And according to Abaye, I'm not choshesh that you're going to collect from the l'kuchos in between. I'm choshesh that it was already paid up and you're going to collect from the l'kuchos a second time, and they're going to split the profits. Whereas according to Shmuel, the Mishnah is talking about a case whereas the lova was never modeh, and the reason you don't return the shtar to the malva when there's a chayis nechasim is because the lova is not modeh. And when there's no chayis nechasim, the reason you can return the shtar is because it can't be used anyway. It's just a bottle cap that you're returning. Fine. So now the Gemara brings what other Amoraim say about our Mishnah. Is it a case where the guy is modeh or the guy is not modeh? So Amar Blazer Machlokas, the Machlokas are made in the Chum, whether the shtar that does not have a chayis nechasim could be returned to the malva is b'she'ein chayiv moda. Is only when the lova is not moda that he owes the money. He's saying the shtar is mezuyev. Rameir holds, can't do anything with such a shtar anyway, so therefore, why not return it? Because it's not usable anyway, so no avla is going to come from it. Rabbanan Savri, and the Rabbanan hold migvagavi, that granted, you don't collect from mishubadim, but you do collect from B'nai Charin, Ayideh such a star. So since such a star is Ra'i L'Gviya, you cannot return it to the Malva, because we're Choshish from the Nefila, that maybe it's Mezuyaf, like the Lova is saying. Avok Shchayv Moda Devrei HaKol Yachzir. But if the Lova would be Moda, that it's a valid star, you would return it. And we're not Choshish that maybe it was paid up and they're coming to collect a second time from the Lukuchos. We assume that the Hoda'a is true, and because of the Hoda'a, your to start to the malva in order that he could be able to collect his chov. That is Rabbi Lazar. For Rabbi Yochanan Amar, machlokas kishachayv moda. The machlokas are made of the chachamim, whether a star that doesn't have a chayis nechasim should be returned to the malva is only in the case where the lova is moda. Against what Rabbi Lazar just said, Rabbi Lazar said that the whole machlokas in the Mishnah was when the lova is not moda. Rabbi Yochanan says the whole machlokas in the Mishnah is when the lova is moda. So I made some star shema chayis nechasim yim where a mayor says if there's no achrayis nechasim in the shtar, you can't collect from a shubadim, but you could still collect from the chasim necharin. So since there's no shibud nechasim written in the shtar, you might as well return it to the malva, so he'll be able to collect from the lova himself. There's not going to be a hefsiteni lukuchos because he's not going to be able to collect from them anyway, and the collecting from the lova is proper because the lova was moda that he owes the money. V'rabbanan Savri, and the Rabbanan hold that even a shtar that doesn't have a shibud nechasim, it's achrayis tal sofer, and therefore you have to assume that you'll even be able to collect from the nechasim mishubadim, and therefore you better not return the shtar because there may be a kununya over here. But if it's a case where the lova is not moda, then everyone would say that you're not allowed to return the shtar because you have to be choshish that it was already paid up, or cheshin le kununya, or something like that. That it was ready peruah. So the Gemara brings a brisa which seems to follow Rabbi Yochanan, and therefore it's going to be a kasha on Rabbi Lazar and on Shmuel. So Tanya Kavaseid Rabbi Yochanan. We have a brisa that says just like Rabbi Yochanan, Utiyufta Rabbi Lazar b'chada, and it's a kasha on Rabbi Lazar in one matter, Utiyufta Shmuel b'tarti, and there are two kashas from this brisa on Shmuel. Here's the brisa: Matzah Shtari Chov. If you find Shtari Chov, V'yesh b'machrayis nechasim, and there's a chrayis nechasim in the shtar. Even though both the malva and the lova agree, that meaning the lova is malva, that he owes the money, you do not return the shtar to anybody, not to the malva, not to the lova. You have to be choshish that maybe the chov has already been paid up. The lova is the one that dropped the shtar, and they just decided to make a kununya between them, that the lova will be malva, that he still owed the money, in order that they'll be able to collect from the kuchos, and then they'll split the profits. And that din is true both according to our mayor and according to the rabbanon. So the Brisa goes on to say, Ein ben achrayis nechasim, but if there's no achrayis nechasim, so then it all depends on the lova. Bizman shalova moda, if the lova is moda, that it hasn't yet been paid up, good, yachsu the malva. We return it to the malva because it's a shtar that doesn't have shibun nechasim written in it, and therefore there's no risk to lekuchos, whereas the fact that the malva could collect from the lova, that's perfectly fine. That's kedin, that's kaalacha, because the lova is moda that he hasn't paid it up yet. But ein alova moda, but if the lova is not moda that he still owes the money, where he either says la dam, or he says no, the loan happened, but I already paid it up. Lo yachzu lo lezev lo lezev to Rameir. Then Rameir would say you return the shtar to nobody. Shai Rameir Omer shtar sheyesh behem achrayis nechasim govin mechasim mishubadim. Because any shtar that has achrayis nechasim, you're going to be able to collect from nechasim mishubadim. And since there's shibud karkos in this shtar at the time of the kinias karkos, the lekuchos knew that they were buying karka that's mishubad for a collection of a chov, and they're accepting that risk. V'shein and if there's no achrayis nechasim, you can only collect from the properties that the lova is still holding on to, because if they didn't write karkos that are being meshubad that the karkos are meshubad for the collection of the chov, so at the time that these lukuchos bought the karkos, they weren't assuming any risk, and therefore he makes this distinction between a shtar sheyesh b'achrayis nechasim and a shtar she'ein b'achrayis nechasim. That even if there's no achrayis nechasim written in the shtar, we assume achrayis tal sofer, and you collect from nechasim mishubadim. And therefore, they hold that even a shtar that doesn't have achrayis nechasim written in it, it has the same din as a shtar that does have achrayis nechasim, which we spoke about in the earlier part of the brisa, that you cannot return even if they're both moda, because you have to be choshesh and they're making a kanunya. Meaning again, what's behind the rabbanan shita is that if there's no achrayis nechasim written in the shtar, there's still achrayis nechasim, even though they didn't write it in the shtar. So you have to be choshesh for all of these things. You have to be choshesh that maybe the shtar was already paid up. They're saying that it wasn't paid up so that you can collect from the kuchos, and once they collect from the kuchos, they're going to split it between them. So the price is exactly like Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan said the machlok between Rameir and the Rabban in our Mishnah is a case where the lova is moda that he owes the money, and the whole machlokas is whether you can collect from the kuchos through a shtar that doesn't have shibun nechasim in the shtar, and we have to be choshesh for kununya, or you cannot collect from such a star from the lukuchos, and therefore you don't have to worry about kununya. So therefore, it's a kasha on both Rabbi Lazar and Shmuel. So the Gemara just spells out what the kasha is, why it's one kasha on Rabbi Lazar and two kashas on Shmuel. Tiyufta Rabbi Lazar b'chada. It's a tiyufta on Rabbi Lazar from one angle. The Amar, because Rabbi Lazar said the Rabbi Meir shtar she'ein ba'achrayis nechasim einu govim nechasim mishbadim v'lo nechasim necharin. There are Meir that said that a shtar, that Rabbi Lazar had said that according to Rabbi Meir, a shtar that has no achrayis nechasim, you're not able to collect anything with it, not even from nechasim necharin. And also from the fact that Rabbi Lazar says bein Rameir bein Rabbanon lo cheshin lekanunya, that both according to Rabbi Meir and according to Rabbanon we're not choshish for kanunya. Ubraisa katani, but the Braisa says that ashay Rameir romer shtar yichov sheish b'marchayis nechasim is govim nechasim mishubadim, that dafka shtaros that have achrayis you could collect from nechasim mishubadim, but the implication was shtar she'ein bo achrayis nechasim, that if a shtar does not have achrayis nechasim, You only cannot collect from the chasim mishubadim, but you could collect from the chasim b'nei chorin, and that's against Rabbi Lazar, because Rabbi Lazar assumed within Rabbi Meir that if a shtar doesn't have a chayis and chasim, you can't collect at all, and therefore it's also and similarly ukatani from the fact that it says bein Rabbi Meir bein Rabban chashin lekununya de katani. It says in the beginning of the brisa that if you find a shtar chov that has a chayis and chasim, that even though they're both modi, you cannot return it because we're choshish that maybe it was already paid up and the shtar fell from the lova, and it's just that the malda and the lova made a kununya between them that he'll be modi and then they'll split the money. Alma, it seems muchach from there that both according to our mayor and according to the chum, chashin and the kununya. We are choshish for a kununya, not like Rabbi Lazar, who said that in a case where the lova is modi that he owes the money, we return the shtar that has a shiba and a chasim, and we're not choshish for kununya. So that's the one stira that the brisa has for Blazer. So obviously the next line the Gemara is going to ask is, you just said two stiras to Rebbe Blazer, so how can you call that one stira? Vani tartihu. That's in fact two stiras to Shitas Rebbe Blazer, and we are out of time. So Bez Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up from Vani tartihu. Okay, have a wonderful day, everybody.